الحمد لله رب العالمين والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وأصحابه ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين أما بعد. We continue our readings in the treatise Al-Qawa'id Al-Arba', the four principles by the great Imam Al-Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. In our previous class, we were discussing the statement of the author whenever he continues his supplication for the reader and for the student, and yet وَأَنْ يَجْعَلَكَ مِمَّنْ إِذَا أُعْطِيَ الشَّكَرَ وَإِذَا ابْتُلِيَ صَبَرَ وَإِذَا أَذْنَبَ اسْتَغْفَرَ فَإِنَّ هَذِهِ الثَّلَاثُ عُنْوَانُ السَّعَادَةِ. The supplication of the author for the reader and for the student, for the listener, the one who is benefiting from his treatise. He said, "And I ask Allah to make you from those that whenever they are given, they show thanks. And whenever they are tried with a calamity or a test, difficulty or hardship, they are patient. And whenever they commit a sin, then they seek forgiveness. For verily, in these three affairs is the embodiment of happiness, sa'adah, happiness and bliss, and pleasure and goodness, safety and security. And this life and the hereafter is found in these affairs, as the author he has mentioned." And we see in Ibn Qayyim rahimahullah ta'ala, he has mentioned that in reality the servant, he is always traversing or moving back and forth from these three stages. From these three stages. He mentioned that in the beginning of his book, mentioning the same supplication here in these affairs in his book Al-Wabid al-Sayyib. In the very first of that book, if a person were to continue reading that book, he can find the explanation of this very beautiful explanation and benefits that he had mentioned with regards to each one of these affairs and that work by Ibn Qayyim and Wabil al-Sayyib. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, we see in the narration we were reading yesterday, how he mentioned sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, that the affair of the believer is amazing. إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ خَيْرٌ, that everything about the believer, his entire affair, everything about him is good. Everything about him is good. And this is something that is amazing. وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. And this is not for anyone. Nobody has this blessing and this virtue except for a believer. Nobody is in a state of goodness at all times, no matter how his situation may be, except for a believer. He said, إِنَّ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّا شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ ضَرَّا صَبَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. So if some good or some ease befell him, or some good from this life or from the deen or the likewise or the likes befell him, or he obtained some good and the likes, then he would show thanks for that, and it would be good for him. And if a calamity befell him or hardship or difficulty, then he will be patient and it will be good for him. And this is the case of a believer in this life. A believer in this life, he is a person that is living his life based upon principles, based upon usul. Before a person can be described with this description, al-mu'min, he has to meet the requirements and the fundamentals of al-iman. Al-iman. There's usul fi iman. Likewise, there's usul for Islam. Usul wal-arkan, arkanul Islam, usul al-iman. There are fundamental principles that a believer, he lives his life by. That a believer, he lives his life by. These principles that Allah Azza wa Jal, He is the creator of all things, and there's nothing worthy of worship except for Him. Subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the dominion and the command is in His hand, and nothing occurs in His dominion except with His permission. Now I'm believing in Allah and His power and His authority, likewise in His decree and His qadr. وَمَا أَصَابَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُخْطِئَكَ وَمَا أَخْطَأَكَ لَمْ يَكُنْ لِيُصِيبَكَ كَمَا قَالَ النَّبِيُّ صَلَّى اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَسَلَّمَ in the belief in the decree that whatever is going to befall you, it will not miss you, and whatever did not occur to you, it will not happen for you. It will not occur to you. This belief, these fundamentals like this, that the believer, he deals with this life, how he moves through this life, if there are things that are good that occur to him, blessings and things that are delightful and pleasurable, enjoyment in this life, whether it's with regards to his deen or his dunya or his family or his wealth, things of pleasure and enjoyment, mahab, things that are delightful for him, there is a ruling for how to deal with them. there is a legislation from the Creator on how to behave with regards to these blessings, with regards to this goodness, with regards to this this khayr that one has, whether it's in the deen or whether it's in the dunya, whatever of the good and the delightful things that happen to a believer, there is a way legislated by Allah Azza wa Jal how he should behave with regards to them. كَيْفَ يَتَصَرَّفُ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَحَابُ وَهَذِهِ الْمَسَارُ, are these things that are delightful for him. Nam, this is the way here. إِذَا أُعْطِيَ شَكَرَ, if he is given, he shows thanks. If he's given in the deen, he shows thanks by holding fast to that and applying it. By holding fast to that and applying it and helping others be upon that khair that he's upon likewise. And if it's good in the dunya, likewise he shows thanks to Allah by using that good in a manner pleasing to him. By using that good in a manner pleasing to him. We've seen an example of the eyes yesterday, like an example of the ears or even the wealth. All of these, the good that we have, family, and children and the likes, and health, they must be, these are great blessings. They must be used in a manner pleasing to Allah. This one who does this, he will find happiness. He will find contentment in his heart. He will find peace and tranquility. The one who realizes that the blessings are from Allah alone, and all good that he has is not from his virtue or from his cleverness. Rather, it's from the virtue of Allah upon him. And then he shows thanks to Allah with that by confessing that with his tongue, Alhamdulillah, Alhamdulillah. And confessing that with his heart, likewise, that his heart is praising Allah likewise, and confessing and knowing that this blessing is from him alone. From him alone, subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then, along with that, loving him and increasing in love to Allah Azza wa Jal, or for Allah Azza wa Jal, seeing that day in and day out he's giving more blessings over and over and over. They keep coming. They keep coming. The blessings of Allah consecutively, day in and day out. Blessing of the deen and blessing of the dunya. Then this would draw the heart of the believer close to Allah Azza wa Jal. Whenever he ponders over that and thanks him, especially if he took into consideration much of the creation, much of the people. Many of them with regards to the deen, they're not Muslims. Many of them who are Muslims, they're not on the straight path. Many of them, the majority is not upon a good way. Many of the people, some people who claim Islam, maybe they didn't pray today a prayer or two or three, or the likes like this, or maybe they're not striving to lower their gaze. If a believer finds himself in that state, he thanks Allah, Alhamdulillah, 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 and he strives to hold on to that, and he strives to hold on to that. This is the one who is happy, this one who has sa'ada. This is one of those means of sa'ada. Likewise, if he's tried, he's patient. He's patient. He knows that the decree is from Allah. Whether he's tried in with regards to the dunya, he's tried in the calamity, in his wealth, or in his family, or whatever the case may be, in his health. All of this, he will be patient. And he, even if he didn't understand sometimes the wisdom behind these things, he knows that this is from the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal. وَمَن يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبَهُ, Allah Azza wa Jal, he says, and whoever believes in Allah, then Allah will guide his heart. This is with regards to the decree that a calamity will befall or a hardship will befall a believer, and he will know it's from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will know that it's a wisdom from Allah Azza wa Jal, and he will submit to his decree. And he will not say anything that is impermissible, or he will not show any anger or upset or being upset in his speech or in his actions. Rather, he will deal with it patiently, knowing that it's from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. وَمَا يُؤْمِن بِاللَّهِ يَهْدِ قَلْبًا, that whoever believes in Allah and His power and His degree, that everything that He has commanded will occur, and nothing that will occur except by His command subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he submits to that, then he will find tranquility and peace. He would find tranquility and peace, and then likewise his trust and reliance upon Allah Azza wa Jalla become strong, and his iman likewise would increase. And at this time, all of those foul traits will go away because of his reliance and his certainty that the decree is in the hands of Allah alone. Those foul traits will go away of bukhul. He won't be stingy anymore because he knows that this is from Allah and the decree of Allah, in the hands of Allah, and he will give for Allah's sake. And he won't be either a coward anymore, likewise, he will be brave. And he with wisdom, because he has reliance and trust on Allah Azza wa Jal. This is all from having certainty in the decree of Allah Azza wa Jal, that whatever occurs is by his command. And then if it was a difficulty, he will be patient. And he will remember. And the Salaf, they used to mention like this, that as long as that calamity was not in the person's deen, Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah. Because if a person is tried in his deen, then this is the worst of all trials. Some people are tried with shubuhat and doubts in the deen. Some people are tried and they're confused about ISIS, or they're confused about the Khawarij. They have shubuhat. They think that they might be upon the correct deen. They think that they might be on the correct deen, or they have sympathy for them. Or they think that the Sufiyah might be upon the right way. Some of them, they have doubts like this. They're tried with that. Some of them are convinced that they're upon the right way. Iyadh billah, a great trial in the deen of Allah Azza wa Jalla. This is the worst of all calamities. We ask Allah not to try any of us in our deen. This is something that is the worst of all calamities. Because if a person is tried in his wealth and he dies with his deen, alhamdulillah, he has the Jannah. If he's tried in his family or in his body and his health, but he dies upon Tawheed, then this is the greatest karama from Allah Azza wa Jal. But as for somebody who obtaining the dunya and all of the wealth therein, and the likes, and then he died sacrificing his religion, or with shortcomings in his deen, fault in his testification of faith, that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, then this is the worst of all calamities. This is the worst of all calamities. So then a believer, he remembers that reality of a tawheed, that he is a slave, that he is a creation of Allah Azza wa Jal. Just like a tree and a bird and the seas and the fish, their creations, Allah created them from nothing and formed them and gave them shape. Just like that, each one of us, we are a creation. We are a creation. Allah created us and gave us shape and gave us form. And He gave us life, subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if this is the case, then a believer, what does he do? يَعْمَلْ بِهَذِهِ الْأُصُولِ. He would apply these fundamental principles in everything that he does, whether it's something good or something harmful or something difficult and the likes like this, then he would deal with these principles that he has, the fundamentals of Iman, Usul al-Iman. With something good, he shows thanks. And with something that's difficult or a calamity, then he is patient. He is patient and he waits for the relief from Allah Azza wa Jal. And he waits for the relief from Allah Azza wa Jal. This is the way of a believer. The one who does this, he will find happiness. The one who does this, he will find sa'ada. This is the second sign of falah, of the servant and the means for his happiness. And the author, he mentioned after that, وَإِنْ أَذْنَبَ أَسْتَغْفَرَ. And if he sinned, then he would seek forgiveness. If he sinned, he would seek forgiveness. Likewise, another calamity for the heart to be hardened and the heart to be misled and to be deceived by this dunya until it's easy to disobey Allah Azza wa Jalla without right or without caring. And he was just disobeying Allah blatantly in public and in private. If a person is not cautious and quick to repent, then his heart can become black. And then at that time, he will not know the good from the bad. Even some people have been tried so much that they will display their sins, that they will commit sins in public. And then even worse than that, they will record themselves and put them on the internet for people to see and look at. For people to see and look at. Iyadhan billah, this is far from the straight path. But the one who can be safe from this is the one who whenever he sins, and no one is safe from sin. We are all sinners. But whenever he sins, the one who's successful, istaghfara. He asks Allah Azza wa Jalla for forgiveness. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam كان يستغفر الله ويتوب إليه أكثر من 70 مرة في اليوم. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that the Prophet, he used to seek forgiveness and repent to Allah more than 70 times in a day. And meaning 70 times, not meaning the number specifically, but meaning many, many times in one day. And he's the messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If he fulfilled one of the greatest pillars of Islam and he made taslim from that great pillar, as salat, he would make istighfar and asking Allah to forgive him 3 times. And he just completed that service, that worship of Allah Azza wa Jalla, fulfilling that pillar of salat in the best manner. And he is the greatest of those who worship and the most pious and righteous and sincere. And this is how he closed his salat. Like this, with istighfar. This is the sign of the successful people, that they say astaghfirullah a lot. That they say astaghfirullah, astaghfirullah. Like this, atubu, 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 atubu ilayhi. Astaghfirullah wa atubu ilayhi. I seek his forgiveness and I ask him to repent to me. This is something that a believer, he says it again, not with, like the basmala when we studied, not with this only his tongue. Not with only his tongue. It's easy on the tongue, but the heart moves along with it. Astaghfirullah. The one who says astaghfirullah sincerely and properly, he is the one who has, this is there in this right here, there's tawheed. there is the tahqiq of tawheed, a person that he is realizing that he is a slave and he is a creation, he is realizes that he has a Lord and a Creator, and he realizes the authority and power of his Lord and Creator, and that he has set limits for him, and he realizes that he has transgressed those boundaries, and he asks him to forgive him, and he asks him to accept his repentance, and he feels bad with remorse and regret. And this is tawheed. This is the actualization of it. Tawheed. This is the way of a believer in his life, remembering his sins and remembering his Lord. Remembering Allah Azza wa Jal and His bounties like this. And the author, he's saying that this is the way of a believer, and this is the way of safety, this is the way of security, this is the way of happiness in this life and the hereafter. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned about this, مَنْ عَمِلَ صَالِحًا مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنْ فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا وَلَنَجْزِيَنَّهُمْ أَجَرَهُمْ بِأَحْسَنِ مَا كَانُوا يَعْمَلُونَ. Allah Azza wa Jal, He mentioned that those who work righteous deeds, whether he's a male or a female, this is the way of a believer. عَجَبًا لِعَمْلُ الْمُؤْمِنِ, yani the believer, whether he's a male or a female, those who work righteous deeds, whether a male or a female, and he's a believer, he has these usul. He has these usul that he lives by. Usul al-Iman. Arkan al-Islam. Aslul ihsan. He is upon the deen of Islam. Then what does Allah mention about him? فَلَنُحْيَنَّهُ حَيَاةً طَيِّبًا. Then we will give him a good life. And the life of happiness. The life of sa'ada. The life of rida wal-qana'ah. The life of ghina. The life of servitude to Allah Azza wa Jal. The life of fulfilling the purpose that one was created for. This is where there is happiness. الْاِسْتِسْلَامُ لِلَّهِ بِالتَّوْحِيدِ وَالْإِنْقِيَادُ لَهُ بِالطَّاعَةِ وَالْبَرَاءَةُ مِنَ الشِّرْكِ وَأَهْلِهِ. This is the sa'ada, this is the happiness, and this is the way of a believer. He's going like this. He has some good alhamdulillah. He's trying to use it to the best of his ability to fulfill that purpose. He's tried with the calamity, alhamdulillah, he'll be patient. He doesn't say anything displeasing to his Lord. And between that, what is he doing? He's seeking forgiveness for his sins. With regards to this and this, he's seeking forgiveness for his sins and seeking forgiveness for his shortcomings. This is the way of success. So we hope that Allah Azza wa Jal will accept this supplication from that imam for us. That he will accept that supplication from that great imam, Imam Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab rahimahullah ta'ala. And we ask Allah to have mercy on him, and to pardon him and forgive him, and to allow us to benefit from his knowledge. And we hope that Allah Azza wa Jal will accept this supplication from him with regards to us, and make us from these people. The author, even after this, he continues again, اعلم أرشدك الله لطاعته. And he's still يتلطف بنا. Still, he continues, even after this great supplication. Now he's again going to the point. Now he says, no, you must know. اعلم أرشدك الله لطاعته. May Allah guide you and direct you to His obedience. You have to know. And after he made this great dua for this person, to have all of this good in this life and in the hereafter, and for Allah to protect in the likes like this, then he says, you have to know, there's something serious. Whenever this is mentioned like this, إعلام, no, somebody says that. This is للتنبيه, to bring the attention. And likewise, we see this methodology as the methodology of Allah Azza wa Jal in the Qur'an. He does like this in many places in the Qur'an. Allah, He will say, like he has said in Surah Al-Muhammad, فَعْلَمْ. About what? Something great. The greatest, rather. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَاسْتَغْفِرْ لِذَنْبِكَ. No, you must know. Learn. And يَعْلَمْ, it means تَعَلَّمْ, to learn. يَعْلَمْ, and you know, meaning تَعَلَّمْ, you have to learn. You must know, you have to learn this. فَعْلَمْ أَنَّهُ لَا إِلَهِ إِلَّا اللَّهِ. Know that there's nothing worthy of worship except for Allah. يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّ اللَّهَ يُحْيِي الْأَرْضَ بَعْدَ مَوْتِهَا. Know that Allah, He gives life to the earth after its death. يَعْلَمُوا أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا لَعِبٌ وَلَهُمْ. In Surah Al-Hadid, Allah mentioned it twice. اعلموا, اعلموا. This is the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. So the author, he is following the way of the Qur'an, and the way of the Sunnah, and the way of the Salaf. As we've seen, the evidence is here. Here is following the way of Allah Azza wa Jal. In the beginning with the Basmalah, following the way of the Book of Allah Azza wa Jal. Also beginning with the way of the Sunnah of the Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. يَتَوَصَّلُوا بِأَسْمَاءِ اللَّهِ عَزَّ وَجَلُ الْحُسْنَى. This is also the way of the Prophet Muhammad Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Mentioning a supplication that is actually derived from the works of the Salaf, Ibn Qayyim. He is upon the way of the Qur'an and the way of the Sunnah and the way of As-Salaf As-Salih, contrary to the enemies of this great Imam who tried to deter the people away from benefiting from him, claiming that he came with a new deen, claiming that he came with Wahhabiyya and he came with a new religion and that he is a deviant and the likes like this. We say, let's look here. We find him following the footsteps of those who have preceded him upon righteousness, upon piety, upon knowledge, from the ulama of hadith all the way back to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. So he says, يَعْلَمْ أَرَشَدَكَ اللَّهُ لِطَاعَتِهِ. Know, and he learned, تَعَلَّمْ. May Allah direct you or guide you to His obedience. Ar-Rashad, I heard this benefit many times from Sheikh Abdul Razak. He will mention this, Ar-Rashad. It's important to learn terminology, especially in the terminology of knowledge, al-ilm. Lahu lugha. There's knowledge, and the ulama, they have knowledge terminology that they use, and the sciences of the deen, there's specific terminology that is used and repeated a lot, vocabulary words and terminology that is repeated a lot over and over. If a person learns these fundamental words, it will help him in his understanding. Bi'idhnillahi ta'ala. For example, ar-rashad, he said, arshadakallahu lita'atihi. May Allah guide you to His obedience. The Sheikh Abdul Razak, he mentioned many times, I've heard him mention ar-rashad ضد الغواية. Ar-rashad is the opposite of الغواية. الغواية and الهداية ضد الضلال. There's a difference here. Whenever they're used, some words in the deen, in the legislation, if they're used together, they have different meanings. And if they're used separately, they have the same meaning. For example, al-hidayah wa rashad. Like here, rashad is being used by itself. Arshadaka Allah li ta'atihi. So that means may Allah guide you to with knowledge and action to obey Him. Or hadaka Allah, may Allah guide you. But whenever they're used separately, they have different meanings. So both of them generally together, or whenever they're used separately, they have the same meaning guidance. Guidance. But whenever they're used together, then al-hidayah, it means the guidance of knowledge. And rashad, it means the guidance to the actions. So al-hidayah is salahun fil ilmi, wa rashadu salahun fil amal. In this manner, like this. The opposite of rashad, it's important to understand, the opposite of rashad is ghiwayah. So whenever rashad, it comes by itself, that means that a person, he has the knowledge and he applies it. So he has that's the guidance. Ar-Rashad wal Hidayah together, they mean al-ilm wal amal. Al-ilm wal amal. When they come separately, then Rashad is indicating the amal, and Hidayah is indicating the ilm. So this is the case. And no one is successful except for with al-ilm wal amal. Al-ilm wal amal. Like this. So then if it's used by itself, this is the case. If it's used together, this is the case. So, but Rashad is the opposite of Ghiwayah. Ghiwayah is misguidance. But the difference here is that Ghiwayah is misguidance after knowledge. Misguidance after knowledge. And then the opposite of Hidayah is Dalal. Dalal, misguidance. So you might translate them in English, have this similar meaning, misguidance. But Dalal, it means to have no knowledge. He's misguided without knowledge, like this. But the person who, the one who knows and goes astray upon intention, with intent, he knows the truth and left it intentionally. This one is al-ghawi. Al-ghawi. He's in ghiwaya. The one who doesn't know the truth, he's wandering in falsehood and darkness, he's dhal, he's misguided. This is a benefit Shaykh Abdul Razak mentioned in many of his classes. Here we see in Ibn Kathir, I found a great benefit. Ibn Kathir, he actually mentioned this. Ibn Kathir, he died in 774. He mentioned it with regards to the statement of Allah Azza wa Jal, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ وَمَا غَوَى. He mentioned here, مَا ضَلَّ صَاحِبُكُمْ, your companion, meaning the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he doesn't have ضَلَال, مَا ضَلَّ وَمَا غَوَى, and also he doesn't have غِوَايَة. So here he negated, Allah Azza wa Jal negated from his Prophet this and that. This and that. He negated from him misguidance from dalal, and he negated from him misguidance from الغواية ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى. نعم, but the opposite of ضل, إذا لم يضل فإذا هو إذن هو مهتدي. Then he is a firm for him guidance here, the knowledge. If he doesn't, he's not, he's the opposite of ضلال, هداية. Then he has the most complete guidance with regards to knowledge. وما غوى. Also, if he's negated, Allah Azza wa Jalla negated from him الغواية, yani leaving the truth and not applying it, then established for him is a complete rashad. Complete rashad. So this is the attribute of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is rashidun muhtadin, yahtadi. Naam, that he is guided with regards to his knowledge and with regards to his actions. The Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, likewise, he described his khulafa al-arba, الخلفاء الراشدين, with these two traits. Huh? He mentioned عليكم بسنتي وسنة الخلفاء الراشدين. In one narration, الراشدين المهديين. أثبت لهم الرشاد والهداية. الرشاد هو الصلاح في العمل والهداية الصلاح في العلم. So just as Allah has described his prophet with having complete knowledge and action, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam has described the khulafa al-arba with having complete knowledge and complete action. Correct knowledge and correct action. Correct knowledge and correct action. Ibn Kathir, he says about that verse, وَالنَّجْمِ إِذَا هَوَى, and then the moon, وَالنَّجْمِ, the star, and whenever it falls, Allah is swearing by that. ما ضل صاحبكم وما غوى. Your companion, yani the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he did not error or he did not go astray. Ibn Kathir, he said, هذا هو المقسم عليه. Allah is swearing by the star, the star in the sky, whenever it falls, whenever it moves. The stars sometimes in the season they change places. Allah azza wa jalla, he is the one who has the command over that. He created them and he has the command over that. This is a sign that those stars are there, and that they are in the command of Allah, and that they move about in orbit according to the decree of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Allah is swearing by them to indicate their greatness. About what? And he says, وَهُوَ الشَّهَادَةُ لِلرَّسُولِ بِأَنَّهُ بَارٌ رَاشِدٌ تَابِعٌ لِلْحَقِّ. He said that this is a testification of from Allah Azza wa Jalla for his messenger sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, that he is righteous and that he is guided with knowledge and that he is following the truth. لَيْسَ بِضَالٍ. He is not ضال. He's not upon ضلال. He says, وَهُوَ الْجَاهِلُ الَّذِي يَسْلُكُ عَلَى غَيْرِ الطَّرِيقِ بِغَيْرِ عِلْمِ. الضال, the one who is misguided in ضلال وضلالة. He said, he is the one who is جاهل, that he is traversing upon the path with no knowledge. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he mentioned the Prophet is not like this. مَا ضَل. He said, وَالْغَاوِي هُوَ الْعَادِمُ بِالْحَقِّ الْعَادِلُ عَنْهُ قَصْدًا إِلَى غَيْرِهِ. He said, Ibn Kathir rahimahullah ta'ala, al-ghawi, the one who is described with ghiwaya, also known as misguidance. He says that he is an al-alim bil-haq, the one who knows the truth. Al-adilu anhu qasdan, the one who left it intentionally for other than that. He said, fanazzahallahu rasulahu wa shar'ahu an mushabahati ahli al-dalali kal-nasara wa tara'iq al-yahud. He said, so Allah Azza wa Jalla has freed his prophet and raised him high above the ways of misguidance, like the way of being in resemblance to the Christians. What is the resemblance of the Christians? Those who are upon ضلالة. غَيْرُ الْمَغْدُوبِ عَلَيْهِمْ وَلَا الضَّالِّينَ. They are described with ضلال because they are people who have no knowledge and they act and apply. They perform actions seeking nearness to Allah, and they make statements likewise without knowledge, based upon ignorance. So here in this verse, Allah Azza wa Jalla is freeing the Prophet from that, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and likewise freeing him from the ways of the Jews, likewise, and they are the ways of وَهُوَ عِلْمُ شَيْءٍ وَكِتْمَانُهُ وَالْعَمَلُ بِخِلَافِهِ. And the way of the Jews is that they have knowledge of something, but they conceal it, and they work contrary to that. So this is something that is understood from the word ar-rashad. The one who has rashad and hidayah, then he has knowledge and he has action. This is again what the author, he is making dua for the student and for the listener. Arshadik Allahu li ta'atihi. May Allah make you from those people who have rashad and they have hidayah. They have rashad and they have hidayah. So we ask Allah Azza wa Jalla to accept that from that imam. This is very important, that a person have knowledge and action. He has knowledge and action. This is the key components to life and to success in this life. Even if we go back to those three before, if he has tried, he shows thanks. If he's given a blessing, he shows thanks. He has to know who the blessings are for. What is a blessing? And how can he show thanks if he doesn't know Allah Azza wa Jalla? So all of this requires knowledge to apply it. Likewise, the calamity, he has to have knowledge, because these can be applied, showing thanks for blessings and being patient in calamities and giving, seeking forgiveness for sins. This only works for the believer. وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ. That's not for anyone except for a believer, because he's working with those usul, usul al-iman. And the fundamental of iman is that it is knowledge. It is knowledge. It is knowledge. And then that knowledge will not be strong and benefit until there is action. Until there is action. And we know that the ways of the Christians, as Ibn Kathir mentioned, is that they have no knowledge and they try to act. And on the other extreme, the ways of those Jews is they have knowledge but they don't apply it. And in between that is the way of the Mun'ami alayhim. Now, the ones who they have the blessings of Allah Azza wa Jalla. They are the people of knowledge and action. They are the prophets and the truthful, and they are the martyrs, and they are the righteous. These are the ones that their main characteristic and trait, they are people of knowledge and action. People of knowledge and action. The people who have knowledge but no action, or action with no knowledge, they're losers. They're losers in this life and the hereafter. The people who are successful in this life, the people of sa'adah, they're the people of knowledge and action. Knowledge and action. Al-ilm al-nafi' wal-amal al-salih. Then even if we ponder over these two affairs here, these two usul, العلم والعمل, we know that the Prophet was sent with that, صلى الله عليه وسلم, وما هو الذي أرسل رسوله بالهدى ودين الحق, بالهدى ودين الحق. We're familiar with this verse, الحمد لله, that Allah sent His Messenger with هدى, العلم النافع, ودين الحق, العمل الصالح. طيب, even before that, الله أكبر, Allah عز وجل, He created this whole creation, that we were created. The purpose of your life and my life, the purpose of the human being is to have knowledge and action. To have knowledge and action. This is why we were created. This is the deen of Al-Hanifiyyah. This is the way of Ibrahim. This is what the author is going to mention here now. He says, after this issue, he says, اعلم رشدك الله لطاعته أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم أن تعبد الله وحده مخلصا له الدين وبذلك أمر الله جميع الناس وخلقهم لها كما قال تعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. He said, no, may Allah direct you and guide you and He give you beneficial knowledge and the success to apply that, to be obedient to Him. This is the supplication of the author. What is he saying this for? That Al-Hanifiyyah, the way of Ibrahim. Al-Hanifiyyah, Millat Ibrahim, is to worship Allah alone, since making the religion and all of the deen, the deeds entirely, sincerely for Allah alone. Sincerely for Allah alone. There's a wisdom here behind the author mentioning this Al-Hanifiyyah, the way of Ibrahim. The people, they have agreed about Ibrahim. And they know that Ibrahim, alayhi salam, He is the prophet of Allah Azza wa Jalla. Even the Jews and Christians, they believe, they are aware of this. They know that. And likewise, Allah mentioned him a lot in his book, Ibrahim, and mentioned him Al-Hanifiyyah, mentioned the Deen Al-Hanif. They used to know about that in the times of Jahiliyyah. They were aware of Al-Hanifiyyah. They were aware of Al-Hanifiyyah. And Allah Azza wa Jalla called the Prophet to follow ثُمَّ اتَّبِعْ مِلَّةَ إِبْرَاهِيمَ حَنِيفًا. And then he commanded the Prophet to follow the way of Ibrahim, Al-Hanif, like this, the straight and the sincere, pure deen of monotheism. And from the wisdom behind that in the Quran, in the call of Allah to His Prophet Muhammad to follow the way of Ibrahim, when in reality it's the way of all of the Anbiya likewise, but His people, Al-Quraysh, they have a lineage to him. They have a lineage to him. They have a lineage. They claim and they know Ibrahim and they know the house and the Kaaba and they know the story and they know the prophethood of Ibrahim. But shirk had entered upon them. Shirk had entered upon them. Even the Quraysh, they claim their nasab to Ibrahim alayhi salam. They claim their nasib to Ibrahim alayhi salam. By telling the Prophet to follow that way, there's a subtleness calling the and wisdom behind calling those mushrikun to the tawheed of Allah Azza wa Jal. Follow the way of Ibrahim, the one you know, the one that you even claim that you have a lineage to, the one that you are looking at his house and you're going around his house daily. This is his way. What is his way? And ta'budallaha mukhlisan lahu ad-din. The author, he says that the way of Ibrahim is to worship Allah, making the deen sincerity for him. Making the deen sincerity for him. Many verses in the Quran, Allah has mentioned Ibrahim like this. Alayhi salatu wasalam. Wa ma kana min al-mushrikeen wa lam yakun min al-mushrikeen. He was not from the polytheists. And the likes like this. Many verses Allah has mentioned al-hanifiyya. Even the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he said al-habbu al-adyani ilallahi al-hanifiyya tasamha. Al-hanifiyya tasamha. That the most beloved deen to Allah azza wa jal is al-hanifiyya, any pure monotheism. Al-tawheed. Al-hanifiyya al-tawheed. Al-ikhlas. Ikhlas al-ibadah. Lillahi wahdahu subhanahu wa ta'ala as-samha, and it's easy, and it's nice, it's easy for the people. It's easy for the people. The legislation of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So it says, أن الحنيفية ملة إبراهيم أن تعبد الله وحده مخلص له الدين. Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, he's described with al-hanif. And this deen likewise is deenun hanif. And the ulama, they mentioned that the word hanif, it comes from the word al-hanif. Al-hanif. Wal-hanif wal-mayl an al-shay qasdan. To turn away from something intentionally. Like hanafa, or they say insan, or rajulun ahnaf. Yani somebody who's considered ahnaf, his leg is, he has a defect in his leg, and his leg is crooked, and is turning away. This person is called ahnaf. So the original meaning of hanif, yani from the linguistic perspective, is from hanif, which is, means al-mayl. And his shay, qasdan, that he turned away from something intentionally. But the ulama, they mentioned that al-hanif huwa al-muqbilu ala Allah ta'ala al-mu'ridu an ma siwa. The one who is al-hanif, he is the one who is devoted entirely to Allah, directing all of his attention to Allah azza wa jal, turning away from everything besides him. And al-hanifiyya al-mayl an al-shirki ila al-tawheed. Qasdan, to turn, if shirk is here, for example, shirk is over here, to al-hanif, al-rajul hanif, he turned away from it entirely. Wherever there is shirk, to turn away from that, to lean intentionally. He sees shirk here, alhamdulillah, he'll leave it. It's over here, alhamdulillah, he'll leave it. Wherever the shirk is, the one who has hanifiyya, he leans and turns away from that intentionally. This is the reality. Yani, ila al-ikhlas, ila tawheed. So wherever tawheed is, he's following that. Wherever there's ikhlas, shirk, he turns away. He turns away. This is also the reality of al-Islam. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'a wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. A person's Islam is not complete entirely until he frees himself from shirk and its people entirely. A person, he must disbelieve in the false gods. Al-kufr bit-ta'ud wajibun. Wajibun. So the iman will not be complete until a person, he disbelieve and turn away from them entirely, all of the false gods. وَمَنْ يَكْفُرْ بِالطَّاغُوتِ وَيُؤْمِنْ بِاللَّهِ فَقَدْ اسْتَمْسَكَ بِالْعُرْوَةِ الْوُثْقَى لَنْ فِصَامَ لَهَا. So al-hanifiyya, this is the way of Ibrahim, and it's the way of all of the prophets. It's the way of all of the prophets. Adam was a Muslim. Adam was a Muslim. After him, Nuh was a Muslim. And after them, all of the prophets, Idris and the rest of them, and Ibrahim and Yaqub and Ishaq and Ismail, Yahya, all of the Anbiya alayhim as-salatu was-salam, kanu muslimin. They were all Muslims. There's only one deen that Allah Azza wa Jalla accepts. Inna deena inda Allahi al-Islam. There's only one deen. All of them were Muslims. All of them were Muslims from the first of them to the last of them. And all of them, their deen was al-Islam. Submission to Allah Azza wa Jalla with tawheed. That definition that I just mentioned of Islam, that's the general definition for all of the prophets. They all came with the same thing. They all came with the same thing. Salih and Hud, all of them, alayhim as-salatu was-salam, came with that. Al-istislamu lillahi bit-tawheed, wal-inqiyadu lahu bit-ta'a, wal-bara'atu min ash-shirki wa ahlihi. We should memorize this. We should teach our children this. We should understand this definition. Shaykh Muhammad ibn Abdul Wahhab, rahimahullah, he mentioned this definition in Al-Usul al-Thalatha. It's very beneficial to understand it. This is what's required for me. This is what's required from a Muslim: to comply with monotheism, with tawheed, to worship Allah alone, and to submit to Him and to surrender Him to Him with this, and also to comply to Him with obedience, obeying His commandments, and to free oneself from shirk and His people. To free oneself from shirk and His people. This is the deen of all of the Anbiya. This is the deen of all of the Anbiya. They all came to the same. They all came called to the same call. The first thing that each one of them called to was La ilaha illallah. If you read in the chapters, for example, in Surah Al-A'raf, or if we read, for example, in Hud, or if we read, for example, in Surah Al-Mu'minun, we'll find that the first thing that all of the prophets, whenever they came, he said, wa salihan, like this, and to his people, wa adin, wa ifsarsana ilayhi, like this, and then they all said, and ya'budu ya qawmi, and ya'budu Allah. They all, my people, ya'budu Allah, ma lakum min ilahin ghayru. They said, Nuh, he said, اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَّهِ غَيْرُ. Then after that, he said, سُبْحَانَهُ وَتَعَالَى, later on, later, صَالِح. And then Hud, all of them, what did they say? اُعْبُدُ اللَّهَ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ إِلَّهِ غَيْرُ. Worship Allah alone, you have no other object of worship besides Him. يعني, لا إله إلا الله. This is what you have to say. This is what they all had, they all called to, was to the call of Tawheed. All of them were upon Tawheed. This is the deen of Ibrahim alayhi salam, is the deen of all of the Anbiya. It's the deen of all of the Anbiya. They were all Muslimun. They were all Muslimun. They were all Muslims. The legislation differed from prophet to prophet. The legislation differed. Allah mentioned about the legislation, وَلِكُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ شِرْعَةٍ وَمِنْهَاجًا وَلِكُلٍ مِّنْهُمْ شِرْعَةٍ وَمِنْهَاجًا. That each one of them, they had a shir'ah وَمِنْهَاج. They all had a legislation in a way, but the asl was one. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he mentioned that in the anbiya ikhwatun li'allat, ikhwatun li'allat. Naam, he said, I'm the closest to Prophet Isa alayhi salatu wasalam. Wal anbiya ikhwatun li'allat, dinuhum wahid wa umuhatuhum shatta. Dinuhum wahid wa umuhatuhum shatta. Ikhwatun li'allat, I mean, these are brothers, they have the same father and they have different mothers. They have different mothers. They have the brothers to Allat. They're all the brother. Their brothers have the same father, but they have different mothers. دينهم واحد ومحاتهم شتى. دينهم واحد ومحاتهم شتى. This is the example the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam made with the Anbiya. They're like this. They're like brothers. Yani their foundation is one, but their legislations are different. Their fundamental is one. Their aqidah and their iman and their creed and the foundation of all of their deens is one, but their legislations are different. Something that was haram in the time of Musa is permissible in the Sharia of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Something that was permissible for a previous legislation and a previous prophet could be made permissible in a later for a prophet who came after him in this manner like this. وَلِكُلٍ جَعَلْنَا مِنْهُمْ شِرْعَةً وَمِنْهَاجًا. And we have made for all of them a sharia. And a methodology. A sharia and a methodology. So the halal and the haram may be different from sharia to sharia, from legislation to legislation, but the aqidah is one. The aqidah of tawheed. All of the prophets, they were in this manner calling to Allah Azza wa Jal alone, all sent by the same Lord, all calling to the same deen. The legislations differed from the halal and the haram, but the foundation of the deen is one. أن يعبدوا الله واجتنبوا الطاغوت أو أن يعبدوا الله ما لكم من إله غيره. That this is the way of the all of the Anbiya. So he's reminding us here that the deen of Ibrahim al-Hanifiyya is to worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone with no partners. To worship Allah Azza wa Jal alone with no partners. لا إله إلا الله. He says, وبذلك أمر الله جميع الناس وخلقهم لها وخلقهم لها كما قال تعالى وما خلقت الجن والإنس إلا ليعبدون. And this is what Allah has commanded all of the people with, and to follow the way of Ibrahim, to follow at Tawheed, to worship Allah alone sincerely, to make the entire religion, all of the deeds, all of the actions, and all of the speech, all of the actions and all of the speech, the deen entirely for Allah alone. وَبِذَلِكَ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ وَخَالَقَهُمْ لَهَا. This is what Allah, He commanded all of the people, and He created them for this purpose. And he said that كَمَا قَالَ تَعَالَى وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. As Allah has said, and I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. If that's the reason for them being worshipped, then it's very clear to see that this is what they're commanded with. Even in this verse, if Allah created them to worship Him, then what is required from them? That's the purpose of their worship. This is what the author said. وَبِذَلِكَ أَمَرَ اللَّهُ جَمِيعَ النَّاسِ وَخَلَقَهُمْ لَهَا ثُمَّ اسْتَدَلَّ بِهَذِهِ الْآيَةِ وَمَا خَلَقَتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. But there are other verses in the Quran when Allah mentioned directly, يَا أَيُّهَا النَّاسُ اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. O mankind, worship your Lord. Worship your Lord. Whenever it's clear that yes, Allah, He created mankind. اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. Who is He? الَّذِي خَلَقَكُمْ. The one who created you. Worship your Lord, the one who created you. Then the Rabb, He is the ma'bud. The one who is worthy of worship, He is the one who is creating all things. اعْبُدُوا رَبَّكُمْ. This is what He has created the people for, and this is what He has commanded them with. وَمَا خَلَقْتُ الْجِنَّ وَالْإِنسَ إِلَّا لِيَعْبُدُونَ. And I did not create the jinn and the mankind except to worship me alone. If a person realize or remember that he was created for this purpose, to worship, what would be a good question for him to ask himself? Something he needs to find out. Somebody's, for example, a new Muslim. And you tell him, he says, why was I created? You say, you were created to worship. What should he think after that? My purpose in life is to worship, make ibadah? Then what should he ask himself? What comes to mind now? What is ibadah? That's it. Now if you find out the purpose in life, you have to find out, okay, what is the reality of that? That I have been created to make ibadah. What is ibadah? If that's the case, what is ibadah? We were all created to worship. What is worship? Ma hiya al-ibadah? What is ibadah? No. Allah, summarized by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah fi kitabihi al-ubudiyyah. Nam ismun jami'un li kulli ma yuhibbuhu Allahu wa yardahu min al-aqwali al-zahira wal-batina. Allahu Akbar. Nam. Anybody else can add for that? The meaning of that, Shaykh al-Islam, he mentioned that ibadah ismun jami'un, a concise term. A believer, he should memorize this definition too. Likewise, these are usul, fundamentals that a believer he will have in his heart. He will memorize these. This is something about his deen he knows. Maybe he didn't memorize Baqarah. He has the goal and the hopes to. Maybe he didn't memorize Al Imran. He would like to, wish to, but things like this for the fundamentals of his deen. Hatta yastaqima deenu, so that his deen can be upright by way of to understand these points like this. To memorize these small points, the definition of Islam, the definition of ibadah. وَكَيْفَ لَا قَدْ خُلِقْنَا مِنْ أَجْلِهَا. And how could one not memorize this? We have been created for this purpose. This is what we're doing in life. نعم, from this is the sa'adah. نعم, ismun jami'un, a concise term. لِكُلِّ مَا يُحِبُّهُ اللَّهُ وَيَرْضَاهُ. For everything that Allah loves and is pleased with. من الأقوال والأعمال الظاهرة والباطنة. From the speech and the action, whether it's apparent and hidden. This is a concise meaning of ibadah. This is a concise meaning of ibadah. But this is the term for the action. For the action. Sah? Because actually the word worship, ibadah, it's used for two meanings. For the action itself and for the state of the individual. Naam, for something, for example, like prayer, that's ibadah. Giving charity, that's ibadah. Seeking knowledge is ibadah. That's the action. But what about the person himself whenever he's in a state of ibadah? That's a little bit different idea. He's in the state of ibadah. This one has a different definition. This one has a different definition. The actions of ibadah are like this. The statements and the actions that are pleasing to Allah Azza wa Jal, that He loves them. The statements and the actions, whether it's with the tongue or with the heart, whether with the hands or with the feet, with the eyes, everything that Allah loves and is pleased with, from speech and action, outwardly and inwardly, this is an action of ibadah. But what is the reality of the servant whenever he is in the state of ibadah? Whenever he is in the state of ibadah. Ibn Qayyim, he mentioned, rahimahullah ta'ala, that ibadah from this aspect is ghayatul hubbi ma'a ghayatil al-dhul wal-khudu'. And the epitome, the peak of love, ibadah, worship, the person who is worshiping Allah Azza wa Jal, he has in his heart the ani ghayatul hub, as high as it goes, the peak of love and submission and surrender. This is ibadah. So the one who is an abid, or the one who is an abid, a slave, he has servitude, whatever the case may be, whether he is a slave for Allah or a slave, yadan billah, for other than Allah. What is his characteristic that he has for his ma'bud, the one that he is worshipping? He loves it. The peak, to the highest, the maximum extent, loving it and complying to it and surrendering and submitting to it with humble, al-dhul. Al-dhul is when a person, he humbles himself. Al-dhul could even be translated to mean humiliation. Low, being low, being low. The ulama, they mentioned that the word ibadah itself, it comes, the meaning of ibadah, it means tathallul, or ta'abbud tathallul, wal khudu', to be low, to be humble, to be submissive. And they make the example a lot of a street or a path. They call it tariqun mu'abbad. From the same root, mu'abbad, ay mudhallal. Mudhallal, that if the path that has been paved and it's laid flat, like the people walked on it so much until the path is flat and submissive, a person just walked right upon it, it's clear, he knows the way, they call that path mu'abbad. Likewise, the ba'ir that's mu'abbad, the camel that's submissive and trained and complies to the owner and the rider, is called mu'abbad likewise. And he's described with this ibadah. So this is the reality of ibadah, and the servant and the slave, that he has in his heart love for the one he worships. The peak of love. The highest love. The highest love. And likewise submission, complete submission and surrender. Complete submission and surrender. Whenever a person, he is completely surrendering, he loves Allah so much that he will surrender and comply to His commandments, at this time he will be a slave. At this time he will be worshipping Him. As for the one who is worshipping Allah Azza wa Jalla, and this is not going on, he's missing this reality. He's worshipping Allah with heedlessness. He's worshipping Allah with heedlessness. He's standing before Allah Azza wa Jal, moving around, doing all of the... Where is the dhul and the khudu'? Rather, the heart should be submissive and it should be surrendering to Allah. He should be humble before Allah Azza wa Jal. The Prophet Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, he's the messenger of Allah, and he stood until his feet was split, Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And then when he's asked about that, he would say, أَفَلَا أَكُونَ عَبْدًا شَكُورًا. Should I not be a thankful servant? A thankful servant. He was at the peak of servitude and submission, humbleness. Whenever the wind would become strong, he would be afraid and he would pray. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He would hasten to prayer, afraid that maybe the people would be destroyed or a calamity would come like it came to Ad and Thamud and the likes like this. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, he was submissive. He was humble to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This is ibadah. The ulama, they say, like Ibn Qayyim and other than him, ghayatul hub. That's the first thing, love. They worship Allah azza wa jalla because he loved him. He loved him. We think about it. My eyes and my hands and my feet is from him. He created me. My children, he provided them for me. My life and my wealth and my health and my safety and my security. Allah Azza wa Jalla, he is providing all of this for me. Should I not love him? He guided me from the darkness into to the light of Tawheed. He taken me away from innovation to the light of the Sunnah. And to the love of the Sahaba and the likes like this. This requires that whenever someone from amongst us does good to us, we love him. It's normal. So when Allah is doing all this good for us, al-mun'im, subhanahu wa ta'ala, then this he is causing us, should cause one to love Him. When one loves Him, he prefers His commandments over his own desires. He prefers His commandments over his own desires, and then he becomes in the state of khudu' and dhul and submission and humbleness. This is the ibadah that we were created for, to surrender like this. So salat is ibadah. Ismun jami'un li kulli ma yuhibbu Allah wa yardah. Until the end of it. But how was that ibadah performed? Bi ghayat al-hubb wa al-dhul wa al-khudu'. Zakat is ibadah. Giving charity is ibadah. All the acts of worship, how are they performed? With love and complete submission and surrender to Allah Azza wa Jalla. Naktafi bi hadha wa sallallahu ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.